Chapter 12. Adora Sprinkle never really felt safe knowing her daughter Marcia was still circulating in society. That's why she had a stay-away warrant out against her, an ex parte, as it was referred to down at the House of Ruth shelter for abused women. And you couldn't call Marcia's relationship with Adora anything but abuse. Yes, her granddaughter Poppy had called this morning, all worked up, babbling about killing her mother for stealing from her again and warning she might be on her way, but Adora was ready if Marcia darkened her doorstep. Number one on her speed dial was the cops. She'd call them in a New York second. Otherwise, Adora was feeling fairly carefree this chilly autumn afternoon on the Upper East Side, awaiting her first customer in her office at Sit Happens. Mrs. Winstead had been pleased with the brow lift procedure Adora had done on her pet Shih Tzu Wheezy, and was considering some Botox injections and a possible chemical peel to refresh her dog's face, as she cleverly pronounced face. Wheezy had handled the anesthetic well, and the bruises were fading as expected, so Adora knew it would be an easy sell. Dog lovers get quickly addicted to pet plastic surgery, and Adora was one of the first to recognize this need. She's unlicensed, unashamed, and never claimed to be a veterinarian. No, she's a sculptress, an artist. Some have even called her a magician. Like her granddaughter, she is working outside the system. Unlike her daughter, who also defies local ordinances but is nothing more than a common criminal. Has anyone ever complained about Adora's services? Hell no. The Upper East Side, well, almost upper. She's located on 2nd Avenue between 62nd and 63rd on the third floor, is a national destination neighborhood for lovers of dog cheek implants and canine chin augmentations. Sure, there have been some silly articles in the paper saying the Upper East Side is no longer fashionable and cool people don't want to live there anymore. Fine, let them stay in Brooklyn. Her clients may be old in age and political choices, but they're decidedly radical when it comes to their dog's reconstructed beauty. Here on 2nd Avenue is where the extreme pet lift explosion began. Adora's pet owners felt rich and wanted the world to know that. Some even chose facelift scars on the front of their dog's ears just to prove they could afford this luxury. If Adora ever made a mistake, they were willing to look the other way as long as it was further uptown. Like the time she accidentally punctured the internal organ of a pampered English toy spaniel when she injected dog fat into the animal's muscles to smooth out an especially unflattering wrinkle. Who said beauty was easy or painless? Not Adora. True, she may have overdone the buttocks augmentation on Dragon, the Pekingese owned by the late Madame Chiang Kai-shek, but what dog wants to sit down once it's gotten the booty lift? Adora's real bread and butter is helping owners of newly neutered male dogs regain their masculine confidence by implanting nudicles, purely cosmetic testicles that pass for the real thing. Once she advised an animal rights-type pet owner to add back only one ball and claim it was cancer, not birth control, that caused the initial mutation. You know what? The story worked. Nobody suspected castration. But what she's really known for is going beyond and over the top of what could be called creative. That entropion surgery she did on Cindy Adams' Yorkshire Terrier, Jazzy, was a showstopper, and many Park Avenue matrons wanted the same eye lift done on their own lap dogs. And while PETA may have targeted her in the past, calling her cruel and greedy, who wouldn't spread a good word about the discreet work she did on Catwoman Jocelyn Wildenstein's dog Simba? She was no four-legged Tara Reid, I promise you. Adora could be the classiest plastic surgeon this side of Switzerland if the situation demanded. A pup's panting mouth often needs surgical help to remain lovable and not distract from the master's own human vitality. Nobody wants to see disappointment or sadness on their dog's face. Bulldogs don't really smile naturally, but after Adora pulls up the edges of their mouths, one could almost call the expression a grin. Cutting small wedges into the back part of a dachshund's nose makes the nasal opening wider, giving the animal a classical look. and combining this fine chiseling with modest leg extensions turned this much-mocked breed into a bloodline with a high pedigree. Lucky dogs! Adora herself has had almost no work done. Long ago, she realized her own facial bags and wrinkles and the natural sagging of her body parts were about average for a woman her age, late 60s, and if she tried to fool Mother Nature herself, her customers would have been confused and distracted from the plastic surgery plans for their own pampered pets. Adora's practice was about projecting the human fear of aging onto four-legged animals who could reflect back up and make their masters feel younger themselves. Adora did have a secret, one that none of her plastic surgery enthusiasts knew about. Adora had had a procedure herself, one where only she could see the results. Umbilectomy, a belly button operation. In her case, turning an innie into an outie, a rarity indeed. Most belly button patients wanted it the other way around, but not Adora. This was her personal decision on a very personal part of her body. Hardly was she worried about appearing in public in a two-piece bathing suit. Those days were thankfully long gone. No, having an innie made her hate her own body. An innie was nature's trash can for belly lint. The first time she saw this disgusting ball of filth, she felt paralyzed, sickened, soiled, aghast at her situation. Adora Sprinkle, a dignified woman, yet she had a hole, a receptacle, a pit, a trash can to attract, protect, hide, and house this appalling refuse made from dead skin cells, body hair, and fibers from her own clothes that she falsely assumed were better made. This was unacceptable. She could not walk the earth with an attached Venus flytrap cavity for 1 second longer. It was a simple procedure. The plastic surgeon numbed her innie with a local anesthetic, created an incision to get to the hernia that creates the belly button position, and poked it out. Presto! No more landing pads for sweat and oil residue. No more squatter's rights for corporeal debris. This garbage pit for imperfections of the human body was now officially closed. The entire procedure took only 30 minutes and healed in just 4 weeks. Total cost? $3,500. A deal. Adora finally felt good about herself, worthy of her career. Some of her clients want their dogs to look like Barbie. Others mention Tiffany Trump, Priscilla Presley, even Michael Jackson at his most lifted. But Adora never encourages these pet celebrity doppelganger makeovers because she saves these for her own dog, a Cocker Spaniel named Surprise with a Z that looks exactly like Joan Rivers. Adora has spent years sculpting, tucking, pulling, and lasering her dog's skin into that wind tunnel look that Joan made her signature. Even if you use dog ears, Surprise is no spring chicken, but does she look old? Hell no. She looks like an alien, just like Joan. Long ago, Adora realized she couldn't allow Surprise to be seen in public. Some people screamed, others laughed, and children sobbed. Even a militant ASPCA member, Adora remembered seeing in the news protesting puppy mills, had hollered, "Put her down!" when he saw this radically altered but finely tuned animal. Surprise had had a neck lift, a chin augmentation, hundreds of laser peels, Bow Wow Botox, and at least 2 stomach stapling procedures. Some may have called Surprise a freak, or worse yet, the new flubbadub. But Adora doesn't care. She knows a dog can suffer from body dysmorphic disorder, or BDD as it's commonly called. The inability to see oneself as others do leaves Surprise clueless about her own appearance. She doesn't realize Adora has triple processed the original color of her coat, so it now shimmers on top in a blonde-on-blonde helmet she wears like a crown. Surprise is Adora's real baby, and that awful daughter of hers knows it. Marcia ain't no dog in the looks department, but even Surprise knows what a bitch she is. Long ago, Adora had given up trying to figure out what had caused her daughter to go bad. Marcia never really went bad, she just always was. Like that movie Adora loved, The Bad Seed. That was Marcia. Dogs knew instinctively that Marcia was evil. Why else would Adora's first dog, Intruder, have bitten her baby the first day she brought her home from the hospital? B. because she was Beelzebub, that's why. But who has time to dwell? The doorbell's ringing, and she has a practice to oversee. Good. Mrs. Winstead is on time. Adora buzzes her in and looks forward to seeing the progress of little Wheezy's brow lift that went off without a stitch. Well, actually, a lot of stitches. If Joan Crawford had been a dog, she would have been proud of those brows, arched, stenciled, doggy dearest to the max. Adora knows that other pet owners might not fully understand Surprise's avant-garde look, so rather than veil her, which Adora had first considered, she'd trained Surprise to scurry under the slipcover of the waiting room couch when any possibly close-minded clients visit. Another dog has never actually seen Surprise in the flesh, and Adora isn't sure, but that may be the best way to keep it. Her dog is so unnaturally gorgeous that Adora feels only she, her creator, should be allowed to behold the beauty. Mrs. Winstead, a Nancy Reagan lookalike, like so many of Adora's customers, rushes in, seemingly upset. Wheezy is whimpering, which isn't all that easy with the stitches still in. There was some incredibly pushy woman downstairs trying to come up with me, she announces, rattled. What do you mean? Asks Adora, suddenly paranoid and rushing to pick up the receiver of her landline. I don't know who she was, but she just kept saying she was a customer, but she didn't have a dog with her, and something about her was fishy. Adora begins calling the police, and Wheezy starts barking wildly, which pops open several stitches underneath the dog's newly heightened brows. Before Adora can grab some cotton balls to blot up the pus oozing from Wheezy's past incisions, the door swings open, and there's Marcia. Mother, it's so good to see you, she cries as she grabs the phone cord and rips it from the wall. Wheezy, sicker, yells Adora in real fear, as Mrs. Winstead's dog leaps to the rescue like some sort of mutated Benji meets Mickey Rourke in drag. Marcia, now dressed in a blue cotton blend patio dress with a pink fitted down jacket to match, both liberated from that buck-toothed lady's suitcase back on the highway, reaches for the hand mirror lying next to the operating table. She holds it up to Wheezy's face, and for the first time the dog sees the results of her makeover. She freezes for a second, blinks painfully, and then lets out a twisted bark of despair that forces her entire brow lift to quiver, pop open, and collapse. Mrs. Winstead tries to pick up Wheezy to comfort her, but the crazed dog bites off a large chunk of her nose in revenge. Blood shoots out like a geyser, and Mrs. Winstead screams louder than Janet Lee in Psycho. Wheezy rushes to the nearest window and starts banging her head on the glass in despair as Mrs. Winstead struggles to plug the new hole in her face with hunks of wet paper towels. Do it, yells Marcia to the humiliated dog. Do it! No, no, sobs Mrs. Winstead in disbelief at Wheezy's frenzy of self-destruction. Adora rushes to grab her cell phone to call the authorities, but Marcia quickly sticks out her foot to trip her, and her mother goes flying, as does her phone, which Marcia quickly picks up and confiscates. The constant, rhythmic pounding of Wheezy's head finally breaks through the glass, and the shards rip open the few unlifted patches of skin on the canine's face. Wheezy doesn't even look back before she hurls herself out the window to certain death. Charge! Yells Adora to Surprise in a smoldering rage that has been building since the day Marcia was born. Hearing the secret panic word she's been taught for emergency situations, Surprise runs from under the bed with newfound exhibitionism and does her best to look ferocious. Unlike Wheezy, she has seen her newly sculpted face, and hey, she thinks she looks pretty damn snazzy. This is her big chance. But when you have been altered to such a state of surreal distortion, it's hard to be taken seriously. Marcia lets out a howl of laughter before grabbing a scalpel off the operating table and throwing it directly at Surprise's freakish head. Surprise's eyes may be lifted, but she's learned how to see and stay out of harm's way. She painfully swivels her head to narrowly miss the blade, hunches up her bruised and stitched back like a vengeful four-legged Donatella Versace, and gurgles a tortured yelp through her permanently stained, red, swollen lips. But because of the retainers Adora has placed on her teeth to correct her unflattering tooth alignment, her bark is high-pitched, almost Nelly. How can surprise explain that a tracheal collapse due to repeated nasal experimentation is the real culprit here? She wasn't born with this woof impediment. She can't. All she can do is pounce toward Marcia's lying mouth. But Marcia is quick, too, don't forget. She grabs Surprise by her altered hind legs before she can even bite, swings her around like a lasso, and hurls the whole lifted body through the air, past a screaming, bleeding Mrs. Winstead rushing out the door. Bang! Right into Adora's noggin, Surprise lands, knocking the older lady backward into a chair that topples over and sends her slamming into a wall where a framed photo of Deputy Dog comes loose and crashes right down on her head. Marcia picks up a chisel from Adora's surgical equipment and aims it at Surprise, who has been knocked silly but still hasn't given up. "Not my dog," sputters Adora, still seeing stars as she struggles to get up. "She's my baby." "I'm your baby, and I'll kill your fucking dog," Marcia hisses, pulling back her arm to throw the projectile blade at Surprise. But before she can hurl it, someone grabs her other arm from behind, the injured one. It's fucking Daryl, bouncing up and down with Richard, fully out, yet not properly hard. How dare they? Suddenly, the whole room starts shaking, and in bounces Poppy, springing through the door, sideswiping the walls, trying to land on Marcia, but her movements are so out of control that all she does is knock over furniture. "Kill her, Grandma," she shouts as Volta and Lipa shake their way in the front door behind her, jiggling intensely toward Marcia as Daryl desperately fondles Richard to get him erect. Poppy lands right in front of Marcia, snarls Happy Mother's Day, and begins to strangle her as Adora roots her on with cries of "Die, die, my darling," one of her favorite old horror films starring Tallulah Bankhead. Campolina, Springboard Sam, and Doubleback Barbara, followed by Twisted Billy walking on his hands, shake their way inside, causing the very floorboards of Adora's office to rattle. The ever-moving cult members surround Marcia, hopping and pulsating as she turns blue from Poppy's choking, red in distaste at Richard's pubic exposure, and finally purple in rage from Daryl's pathetic manipulation of his own member. Gasping for air and flailing her arms, she forms a fist of fury and strikes Daryl right in his vibrating mouth, leaving Richard whimpering below like a little girl dick. Marcia headbutts her daughter, which makes her bounce off the walls clumsily, and then karate kicks both Springboard Sam and Doubleback Barbara, whose own rodeo responses are no match for Marcia's expert ground-level martial arts. Volta leaps upward in such a rage that she misjudges the ceiling, hits her head painfully, and lands sideways in a chair, which takes the wind right out of her. Lipa bounds upward in anguish, but her weight throws her off balance, and instead of landing on Marcia, she splinters a coffee table below. Before Adora can grab Surprise, this bewildered animal is snatched away by her vengeful daughter, who finally can complete her mission, the murder of her mother's favorite dog. Marcia grabs Surprise by the ears and hurls her through the air with all her might. Adora tries to catch her baby, but let's face it, she's up there in years, and come on, it's been a really stressful afternoon. She misses. Surprise crashes into the wall, and yet, she's okay. Not only okay, she's a new animal. She looks up at Marcia and screeches like a cat. This one-time cosmetically made-over dog has now, because of sudden neurological injuries, become trapped inside the mind of an angry pussy. In one single bound, Surprise leaps toward Marcia with her imagined claws drawn and lands directly on top of her head, pawing and ripping her natural brown hair. Marcia struggles to pull off this species-confused animal like Tippi Hedren in The Birds. Bite her, they all shout to Surprise, but she's no match for Marcia, who, filled with evil adrenaline, dislodges this angry transitioning animal from her head and throws them like a speedball. Adora, bless her heart, actually catches her pan-species pet this time. She smiles and begins petting Surprise, who shudders, twitches, and then relaxes in her arms, purring happily. Poppy and gang cheer, while Daryl and Richard move forward, bumping and grinding with a revitalized potency. Marcia may be outnumbered by these freaks, but she's not outfoxed. Just you wait. They'll pay the piper. She turns and flees faster than a speeding bullet. But Poppy knows where her mother's going, the same place as she is, to her father in Provincetown, the only family member left.